إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. وبعد، my dear brothers and sisters, many years ago we did when I used to head the travel operations of DHL in India, we did a program for customer service, and that was to teach the telephone operators of how to answer phones. We had this consultant from Singapore who came to teach them, and what they said to them was, answer the phone on the second ring, not the first ring, because sometimes in India we get what is called a false ring, so it rings and nothing happens. So not on the first ring, on the second ring. Third ring is too late, so second ring. And you pick up the phone, you smile, and you say, good morning, this is DHL, how can I help you? So, good morning, this is DHL, how can I help you? Good morning, this is DHL, how can I help you? Good morning, this is DHL, how can I help you? Can you hear the smile? That's exactly what was taught, that people can hear the smile. And the idea was that no matter how unhelpful you might be feeling, if you say, how can I help you, 50 times, then you start feeling helpful. Now, all this is based on the psychology of language, because language influences behavior. We act the way we speak, to the extent that there have been many experiments conducted, and it's been proven that if you change the language, then your behavior changes, your attitude changes, because language influences attitude, and attitude decides behavior. So, because of the language, when you have more positive language, if you say this is, if you always talk negative stuff, you know, this is so bad, this is so bad, this is so bad, then it drags you down, it depresses you, it drags you down. Then if somebody says, why don't you show, how can we change it, nothing can be changed. Whereas if you are positive in your outlook and you say, well, you know, I think this is what needs to be changed, this is what needs to be changed, you've not changed anything, the problem still remains, but because instead of saying this is bad, you are saying this needs to be changed, your whole mental attitude is different. You're looking at what change can you bring about. The reason I'm saying this is because this applies also in Islam. It applies to ourselves. Somebody the other day sent me a video of, I didn't actually see the video, and I'll tell you in a second why. The video had a caption, it says, 96-year-old woman who is perfectly healthy and strong and so on, because she does yoga. And it says, this is the power of yoga. This is the power of yoga. Now, I know only one power, which is la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. So whether it's the power of yoga or the power of anything else, and I'm not saying yoga because yoga is a Hindu, technique. I'm saying it, I had a sheikh, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless him and fill his qabr with noor. He used to say that if you even take an ayat of the Quran, Allah said in the Quran there is shifa. But he said if you take an ayat of the Quran and you feel that shifa came because of that ayah, he said this is shirk. So my point is that as far as the language is concerned, it's very important to understand this. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us examples of this in the Quran itself. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on one occasion people came and asked him a question, and this was to do with the Ashabul Kahf and so on. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I will tell you tomorrow. Now think about this. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, I will tell you tomorrow, has he disconnected Allah from the equation? This is the Nabi of Allah, Jalla Jalaluhu, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When he says, I will tell you tomorrow, it is assumed that I will tell you tomorrow, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. But he did not say, insha'Allah. So what happened? Wahi stopped. And it stopped for a long enough duration where people started making fun of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They said, your Rabb is angry with you and this and that. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent wahi again, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him what it was, and Allah said, when you say something, say insha'Allah. This is the tarbiyah which is happening. It's only a matter of speaking, but say inshallah. Why? Because that language influences your attitude. You ascribe it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, I will do this. I'm not saying inshallah the way that we have made it into a joke now. No, I'm talking about the actual kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Similarly, if you take Yusuf alayhi salam, Yusuf alayhi salam was in the prison, and again, Nabi of Allah. Do you think his mind was ever disconnected from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Do you think his heart was ever disconnected from the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? No. But what does he do? Yusuf alayhi salam said to the man, when those two people came to him to ask for tabir, and he said to the man who was the wine supplier of the king. He used to give wine to him. So he said to the man, he said, please, you know, tell your king about my case, that I have been incarcerated unjustly. Now tell me, he's not asking the dead, he's not saying this to a qabr. To say to somebody, is this haram? Is this not permitted in Islam? Supposing I say to Hafiz, can you please recommend my case to so-and-so, your friend? This is haram? No. It is perfectly jais. There's nothing wrong with that. But what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Shaitan made the man forget. Shaitan made the man forget, but who has the control? And then what happened? How long did Yusuf alayhi salam stay there? Bid'a sinin. This word bid'a is sinin, or years, the number of years, but that word in Arabic can mean anything from 2 years to 9 years. From 2 to 9, that's the number, bid'a sinin. That term means 2 to 9. So Yusuf alayhi salam stayed in the prison for maybe 2 years, maybe 9 years. Longer than probably what he would have stayed. Why? Because he told a man to go do something for him. And what is the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's usul? Tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala what you want first. Maryam alayhi salam, she is in her hujra, she is in her room in Masjid al-Aqsa. Zakaria alayhi salam, who is her uncle, he locks her inside because for her own safety, young girl, small girl. So he goes out somewhere, and when he comes, he opens the door and he finds that she is there, safe and sound. She is engaged in ibadah as normal, and she has fruits there which are out of season. So first of all, how did the fruits get in there? Because when Zakaria alayhi salam left, there were no fruits, and he locked the door. And secondly, not only are there fruits, but there are fruits which are not even seasonal fruits. So he is asking her. Ya Maryama, anna laki hadha. O Maryam, where did this come from? And she says, from my Rabb. From Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to whoever he wants without hisab. Same Maryam alayhi salam, when Jibreel alayhi salam comes to her and announces and says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed that you will have a son. Normal human reaction. What does she say? She says, how can I have a son when no man has touched me? So Jibreel alayhi salam says, this is not difficult for your Rabb. If he wants, whatever he wants, he will do, and so on and so forth. Now what happens? Same Maryam alayhi salam, who is sitting inside a locked room and she gets food from Jannah. Now when she is in labor, she is in pain. She says, I wish I was not alive. That much of pain she has got. And what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell her? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, she is gone out of this city because she didn't want people to know. So she is there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that date palm, shake the trunk. I don't know if any of you have ever seen a date palm. The trunk of a date palm is not even like a coconut. You can't put your arms around it. It's like a pillar. How do you shake it? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in that pain, he's telling her, shake the date palm. Now, of course, alhamdulillah, I don't think she had to shake it. Wallah alam, she probably touched it. The thing shook by itself. Dates fell there and water came out of a spring and so on and so forth. So, Allah, alhamdulillah, the nusrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is jari. But what is the message? The message is, when I was giving you fruit from Jannah without question, you never questioned it. When I say you have a son, you have a question. How can it happen? So now, since you know, since you have a question, how can it happen? Well, do some work. When you are getting rizq without doing any work, rizqun kareem from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you say, well, you know, if I don't open my shop, how will I get food? All right, is that right? Okay, good. So go to your shop, slog your butt off, and you will still get the same amount. You will still get the same amount. When your Rabb wants to give you without anything, you got a problem. No, no, how can it happen? All right, so it can't happen. So work. Work. Yeah? This is the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you are getting it for free, say alhamdulillah. Somebody says you will get some more, mashaAllah, tawarakallah, let it come. Why must you say how can it come? Same way, how did that fruit come? Now again, this is not tanqeed on Maryam alayhi salam, na'udhu billah. These are the salihin, these are the anbiya. I am just reminding myself and you that the power of language, how we speak, that decides our attitude and that decides our behavior. So let us bring it into our vocabulary. Never say this is the power of this, power of that, power of yoga, power of something. No. Power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. La nafi wa la dharra illa Allah. Nobody can cause any harm and nobody can cause any benefit illa Allah. Illa Allah. Except Allah. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. There is no irada, there is no intention, there is no capability, ability, and there is no taqat and quwwat and no power except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Bring this into our language. Don't say, you know, if I have this headache, you take this pill and this is headache will go away. No. Take this pill, insha'Allah, the headache will go away. Bi'iznillahi ta'ala, if Allah wills, this will happen. For every single thing. For everything, bring it into your language and bring that into your heart. To say that nothing but nothing happens except by the will of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us this in so many places. For example, many times I've heard people saying, when they see an accident, somebody had I remember in the US, a friend of ours, they met with an accident, alhamdulillah, they came out of it okay. And the person was driving a Toyota Land Cruiser. So almost everybody, you know what? It's that Land Cruiser which saved him. And all Muslims, I'm saying, all Muslims. If he was not driving a Land Cruiser, oh my God, he would have died. It's that Land Cruiser which saved him. So inna lillahi wa inna ilaihi rajiun. So I said, then when Princess Diana died, what was she in? She was in an armored Mercedes, not just a normal Mercedes. She was in an armor-plated Mercedes and she was sitting in the back seat, not the front seat. And one can assume that they were wearing seatbelts because all these people, they follow the rules. So they're wearing seatbelts, sitting in the back of an armored Mercedes. Who dies? Three people, both in the back seat and one in the front seat die. And the thing hits this pillar of the bridge and the driver doesn't die. He's in the front seat. If anyone should have died, he should have been the first person to die. He doesn't die, the people in the back seat, they die in an armored Mercedes. So how come the armored Mercedes did not save her? When your unarmored Toyota could save her. So we say, no, Toyota is superior to Mercedes. That's what you're going to say. Inna lillahi wa inna ilaihi raji'un. La nafi wa la dharra illallah. It is not in the power of Toyota or Mercedes or whoever to save you. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants harm to come and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from all harm, then harm will come no matter where you are, no matter who is protecting you. Because nobody can protect you if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to harm you. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to preserve you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserved Musa alayhi salam in the arms of Fir'aun. Yeah, that's a different story. Inshallah, we'll talk about that. It's one of the most inspiring stories of the Quran. Wallahi subhanallah. Every time I tell that story, I feel so good about it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's qudrat, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used. Allah does not use deception. All eyes open, everyone knows what is going on. But if Allah wants to save, Allah saves. Jalla jalalu. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us. Consciously, please use the right language. Do not ascribe anything to anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not ascribe any good or harm that comes to you to anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's from the izn and from the will of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always for the best, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from all harm in this dunya wal akhirah, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us with all khair fi dunya wal akhirah. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasanatan wa fil akhirati hasanatan wa qina azab an-nar wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.